Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our first hymn, appropriately perhaps, good King Wenceslas looked out on the Feast of Stephen, which is today. Number 15. Sit down. We come to our confession. Before God, with the people of God, I confess my brokenness to the ways I wound my life, the lives of others, and the life of the world. May God forgive you, Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable you to grow in love. Before God, with the people of God, we confess our brokenness to the ways we wound our lives, the lives of others, and the life of the world. So may God forgive us, Christ renew us, and the Spirit enable us to grow in love. And the collect for today, Almighty God, who wonderfully created us in your own image, and yet more wonderfully restored us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, as he came into share in our humanity, so may we share the life of his divinity, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We have now the first reading.
The first reading is taken from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading today is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52, headed The Boy Jesus at the Temple. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Okay, now we sing our next hymn, Joy to the World, number 11.
Repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat.
Well done. Do sit down. The perfect child. A father tells this story. As ham sandwiches go, it was perfection. A thick slice of ham, a fresh bun, crisp lettuce, and plenty of expensive, light brown, gourmet mustard. The corners of my jaw were aching in anticipation. I carried it to the picnic table in our backyard, picked it up with both hands, but was stopped by my wife suddenly at my side. "Hold Johnny," 6 weeks old, "while I get my sandwich," she said. I had him balanced between my left elbow and shoulder and reaching again for the ham sandwich when I noticed a streak of mustard on my fingers. I love mustard, and I had no napkin, so I licked it off. It was not mustard. No man ever put a baby down faster. I sprinted to the nearest tap with my tongue protruding. I wonder if anything like this happened to Joseph. I'm sure most of us have wondered at some time what it was like to be a member of Mary and Joseph's family. Maybe you have wondered what Jesus was like as a child. We would like to know a bit more about his childhood and his growing up in Galilee. We wonder about his childhood because the Bible tells us next to nothing about his early years. Most parents with young children would probably like to know what it'd be like to raise a perfect child. Imagine a child whose twos weren't terrible, no temper tantrums, no back talk, no refusing to go to bed, no fights with brothers and sisters. And what was Jesus like at school? Was he the top of his class? Did he always get perfect marks in every test? Did he always win the sports trophies for the best and the fairest? When he was a teenager, did he have pimples? Did he ever get sick? What kind of music did he listen to? Was he really religious? Another question that's intrigued people is this. At what point in his life did Jesus realize that he was God? The Bible skips over Jesus' childhood years, and we next hear Jesus when he was 12 years old. St. Luke doesn't give us anything more than these bare facts. Jesus was born and laid in a manger. He was circumcised, named on the eighth day, according to the custom of his time. That he was brought to the temple at 40 days, as the Old Testament law required. And that he was missing for 3 days and found in the temple engaged in the teachers of the law. Luke summarizes the silent years of Jesus' life in these words. Jesus grew both in body and in wisdom, gaining favor with God and people. So what we are to make of this one story set between the nativity events and the baptism when he was 30 years old? Luke is keen to point out that Jesus was a true Israelite, and that his upbringing in the home, his partition in religious ritual, his moral training by pious parents and teachers indicate that he was raised in true Judaistic fashion. Perhaps Joseph and Mary were taking Jesus as part of his preparation for his responsibilities as an adult Israelite. Mary and Joseph traveled 90 miles to Jerusalem in a convoy of friends and relatives from Nazareth. There was greater safety in large numbers, so it isn't surprising when the group had headed north back to Nazareth, no one noticed that a 12-year-old was missing. Everyone assumed that Jesus was with someone else, probably off playing with the cousins. It wasn't until they travelled a full day that they realised Jesus was not with them. If you've ever lost a child, you will know what fears must have gone through the minds of Mary and Joseph as they searched for their son amongst all the travellers. One by one, every person they asked shook their heads, indicating they hadn't seen the boy. And with every negative reply, their fears grew. Was he safe? What could have happened to him? And the worst is always imagined. Where could he have gone? We should have kept a better eye on him. We should have been more careful. Why didn't we look for him sooner? They spent 3 days looking for him, going to places they had visited in Jerusalem, asking people in the streets if they'd seen him. Luke doesn't give any of the detail, but leaves it up to our imagination. He is sure of all of us who know what it's like to lose someone. 3 days later, they find him in the temple, sitting among the religious leaders, amazing them with his intelligent questions and understanding of all the answers they give. When Mary and Joseph finally find their son, you can understand their reaction. They don't know whether to be happy or angry. What a relief that you're safe. Don't you realise how worried we've been? Why have you put us through all this? And then, for the first time, we hear from Jesus himself. He gently reminds them whose son he really is. He indicates that he has a special relation with his heavenly Father and has a special mission to carry out. Respectfully, he answers his mother, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house?" These words are not the words of a rebellious teenager breaking away from his parents. We know that Jesus went home with them where he was obedient to them. I think Luke is telling us something about what kind of teenager Jesus was. It seems that at this point, that the 12-year-old Jesus is saying that he already has an understanding of God that would go beyond that of any other teenager. He recognizes God as my Father. He is not only the son of Mary, but also God's son. He always was God, but perhaps we see here a growing realization of this fact. And there's another point that can be made from Luke's remark about the young Jesus being obedient to his earthly parents. Perhaps Luke is foreshadowing the obedience that Jesus would demonstrate to the will of his heavenly Father when he would suffer and die for us all. It was God's plan that his son would take on himself our sin and the curse that goes with it, be arrested and be unfairly tried by the teachers and leaders of the Jews. He was obedient to his heavenly Father to the point of sacrificing his own life to save us all. At his birth, he was named Jesus, which means Saviour. And in an act of obedience, who is just that, our saviour from sin and death. He was obedient unto death for our disobedience. And when we think of our disobedience to the call to be faithful disciples, our disobedience to the invitation to pray for our Heavenly Father, to our Heavenly Father, our disobedience to the command to love one another and to work together as His people in the church, our disobedience to the leaders in government, our parents, and those in authority, we are glad that Jesus was obedient to the point of dying for us, God's rebellious children. And our text today gives us a glimpse of Jesus' early years, but especially gives a glimpse of the maturing and maturing Jesus. Even at the age of 12, he is the obedient son of his Heavenly Father and of his parents. His obedience took him to death on the cross, so that we who are disobedient may also become God's perfect sons and daughters. So let us pray. Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Make my flesh life melt away. Make me like a precious stone, crystal clear and finely honed. Life of Jesus shining through, giving glory back to you. Amen. And now we have our next hymn, which is in the hymn book, number 357. We have been called to pray for one another in God's presence, so let us settle ourselves and our hearts to do that now. We pray for all who are called to lead and teach, so that the truth of God's love is shared throughout the world. We ask for wisdom, energy, and sensitivity to God's prompting. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all with power to influence in our world. We ask for a widespread desire of those qualities of compassion and integrity. Incarnate God, we love you and we need you. Remember perhaps the day Desmond Tutu. We pray for all parents and their children, especially where there are conflicts, anxious moments, and gaps in communication. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all missing persons and their families, all who are rethinking their direction, all who find life full of contradictions at this moment. Lord, we love you and we need you. And so in a moment of silence, let us bring to our Heavenly Father those we love and know who need his healing grace at this time. We pray for those who've come to the end of their earthly life, and especially if they're unprepared. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks and praise for God's involvement in our lives. So let us pray together the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so let us stand and declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with the power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Hark the herald angels sing, number 10.
Mercy marked, God unseen as rank on
May the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace of the Christ child be ours this Christmas. And as we stand, face each other, we'll say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen. Thank you.